Psalm 22. I'll catch up with you in a minute. I'm looking again at the thought of hiding the truth. The devil did his best to hide the truth, do away with Jesus. It didn't work then. It won't work now. Pilate told the soldiers to go and seal the tomb and make it as secure as you can, but it didn't work. Still isn't working, but the devil hasn't given up, and he never will until he is, chained in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then, number two, when he's cast lake of fire forever. Until then, we've got a battle. There's no doubt about that, and I am looking at the fact of the type of things that he tries to use against us. He tries to use deception, distraction, division, discouragement, doubt, and then last week, desire. I believe the thing I'm mentioning this morning, he is as successful with it as anything, and that is the thought of he tries to use disappointment. Disappointment. Look in verse 1. This, of course, is a messianic psalm, and an awful lot of it deals with Jesus, but it also deals with the man David. It deals with a man. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am silent. The psalmist says, I feel like God has forsaken me. In the case of Jesus, he had. But in the case of us, he never will. But sometimes it sure does feel like he has. It seems like he's just not listening. But he is. And a lot of times when it seems like he isn't listening is when he is more than ever. And when it seems like he's not doing anything is when he's working the greatest. But I'll tell you the thing of disappointment, it means to fail to fulfill the expectations or wishes of. That I desired, that we wanted, did not happen. Sometimes even that we expect, we try to believe and trust and live by faith, and we're expecting something to happen, but it doesn't. We want the report to be good, but it isn't. We want to get to doing better, but we don't. We want the circumstances to improve, but they seem to get worse. We want the news to be good, but it's bad. We're not only disappointed in our circumstances and by what things happen to us, but sometimes we're disappointed by people. I thought about how Eve must have disappointed Adam, and how Eve must have been disappointed by Adam in that saying, you're the man, you should have been here to help me, and both would have had a case. We can sometimes be disappointed by people. I thought about this. Wonder if Job was disappointed in his friends and how he had done nothing, and yet they accused him of so many negative and bad things. I wonder if Job's friends were disappointed in him and that they thought somehow our dear friend has failed God. This man that we thought to be godly and appeared to be so godly, he must have done something to really make God mad for him to treat Job like he's experiencing. Sometimes people can disappoint us. Sometimes we can be disappointed in ourselves. The one that wrote this psalm, David, no doubt was disappointed in himself when he finally woke up to the fact of what he had done and how he had sinned with Bathsheba and killed the husband. And when he finally woke up to the fact of how horrible he had acted and all the people he had hurt and how he had disgraced the name of his God throughout the entire world, no doubt he was disappointed in himself. Peter was disappointed in himself when he finally realized how he had failed the Lord. We can be disappointed in ourselves. Sometimes we can be disappointed in God, however. And that's what I want to look at this morning. The psalmist said in verse 1, "Why art thou so far from helping me? Where are you, God? Why haven't you moved? Why haven't you done something different? Why did you let it happen?" This thing of disappointment. And the devil's right there to stir it up, to instigate it. And if we're not careful, he'll use it quite successfully against us to defeat us or to embitter us or to turn us away from the will of God. Habakkuk 1:2, the writer says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou will not hear?" Haggai 1:9 says, "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little." You had such high expectations, but you were disappointed in the outcome. Job, as I've already mentioned, said, "My soul is weary of my life. I will speak of the bitterness of my soul." He says, "I just wish I could go on and just get out of here. I am so embittered. I am so disappointed in everything that's happening." So when we're dealing with disappointment, we need to keep some things in mind. If you look again in verse 1, it talks about forsaking me. And then he talks about helping me. And then he talks about my roaring in verse 1. He talks about, listen to me a lot. And my a lot. Because his thoughts at this point are on himself. I say first, when we're dealing with disappointment, we need to keep in mind our selfish inclination. We have the inclination of being selfish and looking at the problem or the issue from our point of view. And what it does to me and how it costs me and how it's going to affect me. But I say there's more involved with the circumstances of life than me. I am not the center of the universe. God is. I am not the most important one. He is or should be. So even though we can be disappointed and things can trouble us severely of the circumstances we face, we need to realize there's more involved in this situation than how it affects me and what I'm going through and how I feel. The psalmist starts out this psalm talking an awful lot about himself. He will soon be talking about the Lord, and that's a good curve to make. I say this morning, there's more involved with life than just what I want and what I desire. Jesus seemed to think that too, for he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." He says, if you put me first, things will work a whole lot better. Our selfish inclination, but you notice again what he says in these verses. He mentions why a pretty good bit in just two verses. Why have you let this happen? But I think he's saying more than that. He is expressing the fact that he really does not understand, that he really does not know why. In other words, there's some things that David did not know. And there's a whole lot of things I don't know about life. There's a whole lot of things about the circumstances we face that we just simply do not know. Because, so I mentioned first, our selfish inclination. I mentioned secondly, our scarce information. Well, there ain't a whole lot of information we have. I better say it like this. There's a whole lot of information we don't have. I mean by that, I see my circumstance and what I'm going through from my point of view, and what I can see and what I can feel and what I can hear, what is obvious. But there's a whole lot of stuff going on that is not obvious. I mean by that, there's no telling what God is doing that I don't even see Him doing it. He is working in ways that I don't even detect yet. He is moving in a way that I don't even know. There's a thing about scarce information. I don't know a whole lot, and there's a whole lot more I don't know than I do know. God may be on the way. Remember Lazarus? Those sisters were so disappointed. Disappointed in the Lord. Disappointed in God. But little did they, here's the word, no. They didn't have the information. They had just scarce information. All they could do is look at what they could see and hear and think and feel. The obvious, but there's a whole lot of things God was doing that they did not know. And I say this, I say it rightly, God did it better His way than their way. And you don't know what God's doing through what you're facing right now. You don't know what He's doing, and you don't even see it doing it yet. It hasn't happened yet. You don't even see the signs of it happening yet. But you just trust God. I say first, our selfish inclination. I say secondly, our scarce information. It may have not happened yet, but just keep trusting, keep waiting, keep walking with God, and trust Him. I do know this. If it ever happens the way you want it to or not, His way is right. And His way is best. His way is better than mine. I may not see that now. I may not see that. I may not have that information yet. By the way, I may never know all the reasons why, but I know this, He's right, He's God, He's good, and I can trust Him. I say this morning, the devil tries to get us with disappointment, our selfish inclination, our scarce information, but I want to say number three, our Savior's intentions. Am I to assume? Am I to dare even think, am I even to allow it to cross my mind that in these verses somehow God has lost control of David's life? Am I to think that the things that David's going through is just slipped by God and he doesn't even know his dear son David is facing these trials? Am I to even think that? Could I even contemplate that thought? No, 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 never, never. God knew what he was going through and he even let it happen and maybe even caused it to happen. So that means God has a purpose. Our Savior's intentions. I don't know what He's doing in your life. I don't know what He's doing in mine. I don't know why He let it come your way. I don't know why He let it happen. I don't know why He gave the devil permission. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But I do know this. There's a reason for it. There's a purpose. There's an intention. The Savior has an intention. He is working. And His working, listen to me. His working, His intentions have nothing whatsoever to do with me having an easy life. I don't know all He is involved with. I do not know His intentions in my life or yours. But I know this. His main goal is not to make us have an easy life, or to make us comfortable, or make us have a smooth road from here to heaven. But I do know this. He is working to make us holy. And he's working to make us spiritual. And he's working to make us love him more and be like his son more. I don't know all the Savior's intentions, but I do know this. His intentions are good. His intentions are godly. And we need to surrender. He is through your disappointment of not doing what you wanted, not giving what you desired, not even maybe answering the prayer yet, trying to do something good in your life and mine. He's trying to make us more spiritual, trust him more, love him deeper, get closer to him, pay better attention to him, learn something about ourselves, learn something about him, learn something about the Bible, learn something about the grace of God. He has a purpose in what he's doing. He has intentionally allowed that you're facing to come to your life. I say we can trust him. I say he's a good God who does a good work, and we need to trust him. I'm talking this morning about disappointment and how the devil will use it against us if we aren't careful. But like everything else in our lives, it's a work that God's trying to do. I say this morning, listen to me. Some of the best and most godly people in the Bible were those that suffered the most. Prisons, whipping, going without, long days, long nights, many tears, many heartaches, many setbacks. But through those things that they did not give in to, God did a work in their lives, and we're no different than them. His work is spiritual more than physical. His work in doing and what he's done in our lives is trying to accomplish what he needs to accomplish in us. He's trying to show us ourselves. And I don't like that, but I need to see it. And he's trying to show us him, the world we know. I can trust him. It is well with my soul. I say first, how do we deal with disappointments? I mentioned first our selfish inclination and our scarce information and our Savior's intentions. I say number four, our survival instructions. How am I going to make it? How am I going to survive? How am I going to get through another day? How can I make it through the night? How can I go to work and act like everything's all right when I'm falling apart inside? How can I go to the doctor again? How can I take another pill? How can I face that person? How can I put up with it? How can I make it? Our survival instructions. Verse 11 of this psalm said, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help the Lord." Or David said to the Lord, "Oh God, please stay close, because you're the only one that can help me now. There's no help nowhere else, no one else. Oh, God, please stay close to me. I need you now." David knew what it was going to take to survive. Verse 19 says, But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Lord, I realize I need you, your strength, your power, your help. Oh, God, help me and help me quick. I need you now. Our survival instructions. How do we make it through disappointment? How do we keep from being overcome? How do we face the circumstances that if we're not careful to disappoint us to our detriment? First, don't be surprised. We're in a world full of disappointments. We're in a world full of trouble and trials and heartaches and burdens, and I don't know of anybody that's never had anything that went wrong, that didn't go wrong. I don't know of anybody that's never had a problem, never had bad news, And that means we're in a world, I tell you what, we're in a world full of bad news. It should not surprise us because bad news comes to our doorstep. And the preacher just the other day, Sunday night, rightfully said, Job was probably the most godly man on earth. Do you hear that? And he suffered like probably no other man has ever suffered on earth other than Jesus. And if the most godly suffers like that, why should it surprise us when we have to? Why should it surprise us when the news is bad instead of good? Are we so special that everything's supposed to be good that comes to our doorstep? Of course not. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. And I'm not saying we ought to look around for gloom clouds everywhere and be a self-fulfilling prophecy. We shouldn't be surprised that the news is bad sometimes. So don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Not only don't be surprised, but don't be sad. That's a tough one. And I almost scratched it out. I really did. But one little thought here made me keep it. And that is this. If we aren't careful, we will get so down that our disappointment leads to depression. And our depression leads to despair. We aren't careful. We'll allow self-pity to take control of our lives. And when trouble and problems, we get to focusing on ourselves too much, it'll turn to a pity party that'll wreck us. And all of a sudden now it becomes pride. All of a sudden now it becomes me and my problem and my issue and nobody understands. And it'll almost, if we aren't careful, get us to the point where we don't get help, don't want help. So I leave the word sad in there. Don't be sad. I understand the heartache. I understand the heartache. I understand it. I do. But you can't stop there. You can't stop with the tears. You can't stop with a broken heart. You can't stop in the place of despair. You got to keep on going past that, and your God's going to help you. He'll help you. Just don't let it do. Don't listen to the devil. He's a liar. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked when it comes to you. Don't be sad. Don't let it. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. Weep if you have to right now, but keep on going. Don't be surprised. Don't be sad. Don't be selfish. Don't let it become just about you and your problems and your issues. I know it's real. I know it's sometimes bad. I know it's sometimes hard. I understand that, but don't be selfish. Listen to me. I know we want the good. I know we want the things to work out. I said, I know we want it our way. But don't hold on to that so tightly that you don't let God do the work He's wanting to do in your life right now. It'll devour you. It'll eat you up. It'll wreck you. It'll ruin you. Don't be selfish. You see, what I'm wanting may not even be God's will. And if I hold on to that so selfishly and refuse to let go, I am fighting now against God. And I'll tell you one thing, I ain't going to win. Because God's will's not going to change. And if I'm stubbornly and selfishly holding on to what I want, we got a problem. So don't be selfish. Here's, let God invent, introduce, include something that you may not have even dreamed of possible. See, all we can think about is what I want and seemingly now what God wants. And they're contrary. That's why I'm disappointed. But there may be something different. There may be something you don't even know yet. Let God work what He's trying to do. He's got something that'll help you. He may have something that's even better, So don't hold on to that that you want so much. I know some single people. They live and breathe and eat and drink getting married. Well, it may be they get married and they'll eat and live and drink and breathe. Wish I could get rid of this buzzard. There may be something better than what we're wanting. So don't be selfish. Don't hold on to it so tightly. Let God. Why are y'all smiling like that, by the way? Your smiles and chuckles sure do tell me a whole lot sometimes. Let God do the work. Don't be surprised, don't be sad, don't be selfish, don't be satisfied. This may seem like a contradiction, but it isn't. I'm saying don't give up. Don't be just satisfied. Ask God, beg God, plead with God, believe God to make you better, to help you do what you can do. You may not be able to touch anybody else. You may not be able to change the circumstances at all, but don't be satisfied with where you're at spiritually. Ask God, don't be satisfied with your state. Say, Lord, I don't want to go through this and then not help me. Make me more spiritual. God, help me. I'm not satisfied with me. No matter what anybody's done, no matter what anything's happened, no matter what's going on to disappoint me, Lord, I am wanting you to do something in me. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I can do better. I should have done better. I want to do better. Help me to do better. David's praying that in this prayer. Lord, help me. Don't be satisfied. Don't be surprised. I'm talking about our survival instructions. Don't be surprised. Don't be sad. Don't be selfish. Don't be satisfied. Lastly, don't be slack. It ain't time to give up. It's not time to throw in the towel. And when it feels like you can't even breathe, doing the right thing is not going to be easy. And when you don't even want to see the sun come up again, doing right, it's not going to be easy. And you want God to work things out, and it seems like He isn't. It's hard to keep going, but that's still the answer. David writes this all the way through the Psalm, verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay thee vows. I will pay my vows. He says, I am going to do what I promised my God. Even though things have happened to tear me apart and disappoint me, and I am absolutely coming unglued, I'm still going to do what I'm supposed to do. Don't be slack now. With God's help, you can stay right with Him. With God's help, you can get closer to Him. With God's help, you can be a help to somebody else. Don't be slack now. Don't give up now. Serve God with all your heart now. I know it's difficult. I understand that. But now's the time to stand. Now's not the time to quit. Now's the time to dig in deeper. Habakkuk 3, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, disappointment, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut out of the fold, and there shall be no herd of the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet to be like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Says that when it seems like nothing's happening this good, and I feel like getting down in the valley somewhere and hiding, my God is my strength, and He'll make me like hinds' feet, like that deer that just jumps from from place to place, or even the goat that just jumps through the mountains from one rock to the other. He says, God, my God, can help me. It's not time to slack off now. It's not time to quit. Don't you be another statistic. Don't give up. I say this morning, listen to me, God's grace is sufficient. Brian said it. Humanly speaking, neither one of them ought to be here, but here they are. Humanly speaking, I shouldn't be here, but here I am. A testimony of God's grace is sufficient. And one of these days, God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall it be any more pain. But until then, we just got to trust God's grace. I ask you this morning, are you saved? Do you know it? If you are, today sure would be a good day to get it settled. If you are saved, don't be surprised that disappointments come your way. Maybe this morning you need to come and pray and ask God, like David, oh, God, help me, help me, help me, and help me quick. I need you. Let's stand together.